Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.
My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Today, I am speaking with Larry Lindner, an award-winning copywriter, editor, and author who has written New York Times bestsellers, national newspaper columns, and marketing content that helps architects stand out and grow their businesses. Through his work creating ad copy, articles, and PR materials for architects and designers, Larry has learned how the right words can transform how clients see your value. Today, we're going to explore how architects can use storytelling, strategy, and language to build stronger, more referable brands. Larry Lindner, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thanks so much, Mark. Thanks for having me. You made me sound so interesting. I can't wait to hear what I have to say.
I'm looking forward to it myself. All right. We're going to talk about copywriting. You are a copywriter. You've been doing it for many years. You help architects tell their stories, get the right words in the right place. And I want to dive deep into that today. But before we do that, we want to learn a little bit more about you. So when did you discover your passion for what you do, and who or what inspired you to get started?
Okay, so I never chose writing as a career. It chose me. From my earliest memories, I was trying to put words together. I was typing things out on the typewriter when there were typewriters. When I was 3 years old, making stories and stuff, it was just something that was going to happen. So just always words and me were going to be a thing, and storytelling.
So how did you become a copywriter? Where did you go from making sure that words were everything to you? Were words part of even elementary school? Was it clear that words were special?
Yes, it was. In fact, we had a newspaper that came out once a year in my elementary school, and the newspaper was a poem from every class in the school. And there were only three classes on a grade, so there weren't a lot of poems. And everybody in every class had to write a poem. And I knew from second grade that my poem was going to be the poem. And in fact, my first poem, my first writing that was ever published was The Easter Bunny. And that came out in the newspaper when I was in second grade. But with the copywriting, that actually came later. That was about my sixth life as a writer. I started out doing articles for newsletters, and that grew into writing articles for magazines. And then I became a columnist at the Washington Post for a while. And then I started writing books for people, like as a collaborator, like speaking in their voice to get a book out. Mm-hmm. And that's how some of those New York Times bestsellers happened. And then I went back to, or I should I say, I always was doing some magazine writing. And some of the magazine writing I did was for shelter magazines, you know, magazines that feature homes and architecture and construction and interior design. And I liked it. And this is part of my origin story too. I grew up in a really gritty section of New York City. It was in Queens, but it wasn't beautiful Forest Hills, Tennis Open Queens. It was kind of Dayton, Ohio, circa 1954 meets Slovenia, 1996 Queens. And there was nothing inspiring about the streetscape. And I knew this as a kid. It was boring brick row houses. And I grew up in a boring apartment building. And I wanted what I saw on TV, you know, homes and real residences with picket fences and garages and cool attics and stuff like that. And I missed architecture in my life. It was just something I felt. So it made sense to me to be writing for these shelter magazines because I've always been interested in really beautiful builds. And one time, I'm going back, God, I don't know how many years, I was interviewing a high-end builder in the Boston area about some work they were doing at a condo in the Four Seasons downtown here in the city. And he liked me and we got along and he liked the questions I was asking. And he said, do you ever do any copywriting? And I lied and said, oh, yeah. And he said, okay, why don't you do some copywriting for us? So I did, and it was great fun. I did a big marketing book for them and gathered testimonials from some of their former clients. And that just grew into other things because one of the things that happened was they had me interview some of their collaborators, which were architects. And then the architects would come to me and say, do you ever do any copywriting? And now I could say yes, because it was the truth. And it kind of just grew from there.
Can you explain specifically what copywriting is? What's the difference between that and other types of writing?
Okay. So all types of writing, even a novel, right? Even something fiction, they're trying to sell something. It might not be a thing. It might be selling a point of view or selling you to try to get to think about something in a new way or think about something that you never did think about. Words are a marketing tool. They get you to apply your mind in a new way. But with copywriting, it's more direct. You're trying to write to kind of make a purchase happen. And it's not always like, you know, point A to point B. It may be point A to point Q, right? Like a lot of steps have to happen in between, you know, meetings between an architect and clients and collaborators and all of that. But it's a very direct attempt to grow business through words. So that's, I think, the difference between copywriting and other kind of writing. They all are under the umbrella of trying to sell, and copywriting just does it more directly.
Right. So the words that are on our website, the words that may be in our brochures, those kind of things that explain who we are, what we do, and why people should work with us.
Yeah, they're very meaningful and they're impactful, or they're under impactful, and they have to merge right with the photos and the other art that you put on the page. And you are telling a story about yourself. You're creating an impression of yourself and you're positioning yourself as different. Like lots of architects are really good architects, right? They do terrific work, but everybody has their own origin story that informs their secret sauce and how they approach a build or a rebuild or whatever it is. And words, copywriting helps you differentiate yourself in that market if you use them very kind of incisively.
I think a lot of architects, they build their own website, they create their own marketing materials, and they write their own copy. What would you say are some of the biggest communication mistakes you see architects making?
Oh, sure. So one of the things I see, and I can come back to websites, but so architects are smart. They know these days you have to put yourself out on social media. A lot of them do a monthly zine, you know, which is that thing that comes into people's inboxes on their email once a month. Sometimes people send out a physical newsletter. But even in social media posts, what I find a lot of architects do that I don't think lands is they try to tell everything that happened. Like, okay, so I did something a while ago, a week ago, a month ago, and now I'm going to catch people up. And it's what they've been doing. And I don't think people really care what people have been doing. I mean, like an architect will put out a newsletter online and they'll say, we finally poured the foundation this month.
Right. They write the news.
They write the news. But like, if you're IMP, nobody cares that you poured the foundation this month. It's not interesting. Right. It's kind of like saying, I bought toilet paper, poured the foundation, and made spaghetti. People want to hear, how do you think? How do you approach a problem? Who are you? A picture of pouring a foundation isn't interesting. I would say find a point of entry in your communications with readers and use it to say something about yourself. Like maybe you had a fight with a client and here's how you resolved it. Or you had a fight with a client and you knew when to cut the client loose, and that was an important lesson learned. Or maybe in working on something, you've thought about how to orient the windows to the water in a different way. Like, I mean, sometimes something momentous has really happened, and then it's worth saying the build is finally finished and, you know, we're looking out the window here and it's glorious. I mean, those moments do happen, but they're just moments. You don't have to say everything that's been going on in your architectural life. Go between the piano keys. Talk about the things that are making you operate as you're working and as you're thinking. And some of the time, it doesn't even have to be about you as an architect. It could be about you as a person. I do a monthly e-zine for an architect, and the ones that land the best are the ones that have nothing to do with architecture. We did one a few months ago, and we called it Actortecture. And he grew up as a child actor all through elementary school and middle school and high school. And I just had different pictures of him acting in different plays along the way. And toward the front, after we're talking, you know, he's in Oliver Twist and he's in My Fair Lady. And I see somewhere at the beginning, a spoiler alert, none of this has anything to do with architecture. And we weren't sure. He got so much response to that. And did it say, like, I make the most beautiful builds in the world, I do the best mud rooms, I can create a beautiful banquette? No, it made people like him. It made people want to know him. It made people want to talk to him. And that's a really strong thing as an architect, right? Because you want not just clients, but collaborators who will recommend you because you're really cool and you're really neat. So that, I would say, that goes away from the mistake of saying, here's what I did.
Right.
Another thing is there's often too many points of entry. Like, I'm a guy who makes money with words, but I'm here to say use fewer words. Like, people are getting tons of things in their inboxes all day long, every day.
Yeah.
Have a great photo, say something really cool, be done with it. Or a 10-second video of the crane lifting the fabulous marble slab from Brazil up through the balcony on the third floor saying, whew, we got it done. That's fun. It's cool, you know? So I'd say fewer words, fewer points of entry, less what I did, more how I think or what's interesting about me. The other thing is take more before and during pictures. Too many architects in their social media, they have great like finished product pictures. But if you think about an HGTV show, the only thing that's interesting about an HGTV show and why people watch the whole thing is the first minute and the last minute.
Right.
Oh, wow, this looks like crap. Oh, my God, look what the Property Brothers did to it. Everything in the middle, you know, it doesn't really count. Oh, look, here's the dog. Here we are at the fence in the backyard. People want the beginning and the end. But too many architects fail to capture the beginning and the middle with a camera. And when you get to the end, and if you have that before and after, that's a really strong statement. That's here's what I can do. So those are my kind of big picture where architects may go wrong.
It sounds like when we're writing, we should be more focused on stories and narrative than statements.
Absolutely. And it doesn't always have to be once upon a time stories, but it's the story of you. More even than the story of your work. The story of your work gets subsumed under the story of you. But stories are great. I had an architect, he bought a Queen Anne Victorian house from 1895, and he had had it for about a year, but I didn't learn about this till about a year into our collaboration, and he was fixing it up, right? First, they were going to tackle the third floor, then they had a plan, and he had never posted anything about this, and I'm like, you're an architect, and you bought a really old house, and you're fixing it up. Hello? This is your life. Like, this is your life as an architect applied to your private life. It's perfect. Mind that to death. And then several months into that, I found out that the house was used as a primary setting in a major Hollywood film. And I wanted to strangle him that he had never told me this before. And I said, you're going to say something about this. And he said, no, I'm uncomfortable. And I said, no, you're going to do it. And I finally, like, just kind of strangled him by the neck and he couldn't breathe anymore. And I made him write an article for the Boston Globe about how his house was used as a primary setting in a film. And it got incredible play. And, you know, his name and the name of his firm was at the bottom. So that's not, I poured the foundation this month, or I designed the back porch this month, or here's what I used for lighting over there. It's my life. It's me. I'm an architect. It's fun. It's interesting. So yes, tell stories. Mine yourself. Mine who you are to tell them.
Do you have a process for that? Do you have a process for finding the topics and maybe, you know, finding those stories that like that architect didn't even realize that that house and the story behind it was something that he should be sharing? Is there a process that you go through with your clients to pull that out of them?
Yeah, I do have a process, but it's not something I could tell you what the course is on that process.
Yeah.
I just like to talk to my clients and get to know them over time. And we just chat about everything. And we talk about things that have nothing to do with architecture and nothing to do with their professional life. And where are you from? And oh, my older brother used to beat me up too. And which happened, by the way. And just stuff. And then they just, it's a way of loosening people up. And then they start talking about themselves in ways that they may not have ever thought of, or they say things that they don't. I often hear from clients, wow, Larry, you use that. And I never even realized that was important. There's a lot important about you that you don't realize. I'm sure there's a lot important about me that I don't realize. So I try to keep it open and friendly and chatty. And through just kind of yakking and talking, we develop ideas together as we go along. Sometimes an architect will come to me and say, listen, I just did this incredible thing over here. And that's fine. That has a place sometimes. I'm not saying never say what you did, never say what's going on. But so much of what really lands and what really resonates just comes through learning the person. And I've had a whole career of that, you know, writing books for people and interviewing people from articles. So I guess you could say maybe that's my secret sauce, learning how to mine people and then communicate them through words. Everybody's seen that movie Ghost and Lula May, and she kind of channels people through her and then they're able to communicate. So I'm kind of the Lula May of the copywriting world. You talk to me as an architect, it goes through me and then it comes out, and then you're communicating to other people in ways that you might not have been able to. It kind of is like that.
Ultimately, we're trying to resonate, right? We're trying to resonate with our clients. We're trying to make a connection. Right. So you talked about earlier about the architect who was a child actor and how that resonated with a lot of people, probably because there were a lot of people who went through school and either saw those plays or were part of the acting scene. I was part of the lighting crew and the stage crew. And so that would resonate with me, right? And I would want to know that person a little bit more. And so I think understanding that a big part of copywriting is to try to find that connection between you and the person that you're trying to communicate with, correct?
Very much so. And it's interesting that you were in lighting, because he got a lot of responses saying, I was uncomfortable on the stage, but I was very comfortable backstage in lighting and I made a lot of friends and all of that. But yeah, see, when you communicate with the world as an architect, you know, like out there to the people, it takes several times for a potential client to come to you after they've learned about you. They're probably not going to come to you after one post.
Right.
But you begin to build up a rapport with them, even though they've never spoken to you. But the other thing that's really important is a lot of people who see you on social media are not potential clients, right? The potential clients haven't heard of you. Maybe some past clients follow you. But a lot of people who are going to see you are your collaborators, the builders you work with and the interior designers you work with, and maybe sometimes the landscape architects that you work with. And you really want to make an impression on them, because they're the ones who, so let's say the builder is the one who has the client, right? And the client says to the builder, show me three architects, have them walk the runway, twirl around, and I'll see how I like them. Yeah. You want that builder to like you and feel good about you and say, oh, I want Mark to get in front of these people. I think he'd be really good. I like him. I'm comfortable with him. So as much as you're talking to potential clients, you're talking to collaborators who have the ability to bring you much more business than one family in one house. And that's an important thing to keep in mind.
Something we talk about a lot on the podcast, because I find it so interesting and very important for architects, is the power of brand. How do words, specific words and the right words, and specifically copywriting, connect to building a powerful brand?
Okay, that's a really good question. So there's one company that I wrote for, and they were not architects, but they were in the built environment business. And a very important word to them was joy, right? They liked it. They used it. They felt really good about it. They wanted to bring joy to the process of inserting people into their new space. And it was a very canny word to use, right? Because when people who own a home live in that space and it's being transformed, it's the opposite of joy. They want everybody out of there already. They want to just live in their house again. They're tired of people traipsing through and, oh, this person didn't put the little footsie things on their feet before they walked and now we have to clean up the mud. So joy is good. It turns the whole thing on its ear, right? So how do you portray joy? It's happy, smiling people. It's people sitting in their new space and looking relaxed. It's sunshine streaming through the window. So that's how you would connect joy visually to make a fuller package.
For sure, that example specifically with the word joy, how do you expand that and extend that, right? Because if we're writing copy and joy is a big part of who we are and what we want to project, how do we do that through words beyond just using the word joy in lots of places?
Oh, all kinds of ways. So one of the things you want to do, for instance, is get testimonials from your happy clients, right? So they might not say the word joy. In fact, if anybody who's listening can get a client to say that there was joy, that they found the process joyful, tell me, I will be thrilled for you. But they may say things like, we really loved working with so-and-so architect. He or she made everything so easy. It felt like a magic carpet ride. It was actually fun when we didn't think it would be. So that would be one way to capture that. That's a strong way to capture it. Let other people tell the story of who you are. That's much better than you saying we bring joy to the process, right? And I would even get collaborators to say it. Maybe you can do a short video. Maybe they'd go on social media saying, we loved working with Jill Smith. She just was terrific. Every time we met with her, she brought home-baked muffins that were just terrific. And then we know, oh, she's just so nice and open and wants to make everybody comfortable. And that's kind of joyful. So that to me would be a strong one, to get other people to articulate what a joyful experience it was to work with you without necessarily using the word joy.
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. Gain lessons learned and credits earned with Arcademy, ARCAT's continuing education program. Listen to popular episodes of the Detailed podcast and earn AIA-approved HSW credits. Yes, you heard that right, HSW credits for episodes of Detailed podcast. Listen to an episode, check out the learning objectives, and use what you've learned while listening to take the course. The program is free, it's simple, and can be found at arcat.com under the Resources tab. Or just go to arcat.com/arcademy. That's arcat.com/arcademy. That's arcat.com/arcademy. Please visit our sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. You mentioned earlier that you've written for shelter magazines and national outlets. If an architect wants to get attention, maybe through one of their projects, what makes a story newsworthy for those type of magazines?
Okay, so the shelter magazines would be different from, say, a newspaper. So what shelter magazines want, even more than the words, although they're happy for my words, is something gorgeous, really beautifully done, perhaps out of the box, like just a phenomenal build, just something dynamite. Like I do a lot of writing for one magazine and they had me do something a couple of months ago on a terrific lake house in Connecticut. And the porch on the upstairs of the house came to a kind of point and they were trying to transmit this idea of the bow of a ship. And that was really interesting. I just did a fabulous ski house where the mudroom was the first room you came into. The house had an unusual configuration and they wanted the mudroom to be very dark and glam and atmospheric. So this is more of a design aspect of it than an architectural aspect, although architecture definitely comes into it. they did the walls in this very deep blue textured plaster, but they sourced an antique cow trough from France and they turned it into the mudroom sink. And it had all of this texture and layer. So stuff like that, it was so out of the box. I mean, how could the magazine not be interested in something like that? And then, you know, it had incredible views. I mean, you looked like you were looking straight out at the Sound of Music and, you know, gorgeous, you know, wood beams and different ceiling heights and all of that stuff. So if you want to get into a shelter magazine, I would say the build has to be more than just the really good job that you did, but it has to be good eye candy. I've said a lot of words just to get back to that. It just has to be really beautiful to look at.
Yeah.
That's helpful. And there are ways to pitch a magazine too. Like you want to get it professionally photographed, which is expensive, but you know, if you, the old saw, if you want to make money, you have to spend money. And then you create a pitch, which a copywriter could help you with, or maybe you could try it on your own. But that would be a good way to get into a shelter magazine, to get an article into a regular newspaper or something. Then you could have an interesting backstory. Like I've done articles for newspapers about an architect who built a new facility for children to learn sailing in a sailing camp that gave poor kids a free ride. It was in a very, very Tony suburb, but the kids were bussed in from the inner city to take the sailing lessons. So that was a way to showcase the architect, right? And show what a do-gooder he was. Not that he didn't make money on it, but what got it into the paper was, oh, this is really good. This is a really nice thing that happened. So if your build is unusual for its purpose, that could help it get in someplace.
Yeah. If an architect has a project that they want to share and they figured out they have a great story to tell, but you had mentioned earlier about the pitch, how does that work? How do you get the story into the hands of the right person and then be able to say the right words to that person to communicate what the story might be that would attract them to want to learn more?
Okay. So living in New England, we have a bunch of New England shelter magazines, and I'm sure wherever, and there are national ones, of course, too.
Yeah.
But wherever anybody's living, if you say you want to start locally, it would be a good idea. Like a lot of magazines, they throw parties or they have people to a lighting showroom. Go to some of those events, meet the editor.
Build some relationships.
Yeah, build some relationships and then, you know, say it was, tell them how wonderful it was to meet them, even if it wasn't. And you can even say, you know, I think I may have a project that you might be interested in. Would it be okay to send it to you? And they'll say yes. And then you send it and they may be interested and they may not be interested. And the words you use is, are, hi, so-and-so, it was so great to meet you at the lighting showroom the other week. Here's the project I was talking about. And as you can see, I'm making this up, you know, we stuck the lights underneath the wood instead of on top of the wood. And that creates a different kind of a glow. And it leads so seamlessly from the newly enclosed porch to the kitchen and blah, blah, blah. And if you've never met the editor, I would send a short note with photos and I would, don't do a lot of throat clearing. Just break in and say, dear so-and-so, I'm an architect in such and such a town and I have a build that incorporates blah, blah, blah. And I'm wondering if it might be right for the pages of your magazine. And let me draw your attention to this special thing and that special thing. Thanks so much for considering. Look forward to hearing from you. Less. It sounds weird to come from a wordsmith, but fewer words go further.
Yeah. If they see a lot of words on the page, they hit delete.
Yeah, kind of. Or I'll get back to it, but they never do.
Right. They just write, I don't have time for this right now. Yeah. Does it make sense when you do have that story to have an outline of that story or maybe even have written the story as a first draft or just pitch the idea and let them come up with the story?
Thank you for that question. So writing the story or suggesting an outline for how it might go is a terrible idea. The magazine wants to decide how it's going to go. They want to assign a writer to it. So you're an architect. You design the build. They hire a writer by trade to put the story together. They don't want you to suggest how it should go. They want you to make them drool over what a fabulous thing you did. And they'll take it from there.
Just share the candy.
Yeah, exactly. Share the candy.
Yeah. And does that go both for magazines and newspapers?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Even more for newspapers. But yeah. And really think about it. As an architect, do you really want to say what you think the story should be? I mean, if you think there's an interesting element, include it in your pitch. But for how it should go, for what the flow of it should be, you're not going to be considered the expert on that. So leave it to them. They feel there's the experts. One thing that happens when you're, if you have a copywriter, is a lot of times the copywriter realizes there's a story for a publication when you might not realize one. I've got an architect who's currently designing an elevator for a townhouse where there had been no elevator. And it's going to be an incredible elevator. It's going to have art on the walls, on the shaft as the elevator, like really expensive, yeah. Wonderful art. And the elevator cab itself is going to be glass so you can see through it. And it's going to go through a very contemporary floor on the lower level and then get into a very traditional floors with a lot of wood and wainscoting on, and fireplaces on the other levels. And they never thought about this. But when they were talking about this to me, the first thing that came into my head was, there's a magazine article in this and it's called Getting the Shaft. It's so perfect. And this couple in this exquisite townhouse in a really fancy neighborhood is literally going to be getting a shaft. So when it's ready, I'm absolutely going to pitch it. So that's an example of why it's a good idea to have a wordsmithy kind of person
right.
to talk to bounce ideas off of, because they may think of a way to make something publication worthy that to you might just be a side job or a stocking stuffer job.
Yeah. As we get close to the end here, I want to address architects who may want to work with copywriters. What do architects need to do to prepare in order to be a good client to someone like you?
I would go counterintuitive on that. I would say if an architect wants to get in touch with a copywriter, they should not prepare. Just reach out to them and have a conversation, because you want to start with, do I get a good feeling about this copywriter? Does he or she seem like somebody I'd get along with over the long term? Do they get me? Do they like what they're doing? Are they enthusiastic about this, or am I their 110th client? Do they want to work with me? Do I get a sense that they want this business? Get the vibe down and just talk. And you can say, you know, I'm thinking of doing X, Y, and Z, and I haven't had the bandwidth. And that's a big issue with architects.
Yes.
Marketing, copywriting, that's kind of the orphan of the business, right? You're all busy designing, creating, meeting with clients, meeting with collaborators, but it's an unfortunate orphan because it's really important to include in your business model. But just talking with some copywriters, you'll get a sense of whether you like them and whether you want to work with them. It's not important whether they know what a corbel is or a pediment. I mean, they should. But what's more important than that is, do they get me? Does this feel right? And then, like I said, from conversations, really strong talking points flow.
Through our conversation here today, I've realized that much of the work that you do is listening and building relationships and communicating with people. And that leads me to AI, right? AI writes. But what I hear from you is that you're building relationships. What are your thoughts about AI copywriting and people using that to do the work that you do?
I personally don't find AI useful. I've kind of played with it and it gets in my way, because it gets you a certain amount of the way there, but it's not really the road you would have taken.
Right.
And then you're kind of retrofitting what you wanted to say back into the way AI said it. For me, it actually ends up taking time and making it, it would be not as good as if I just started from scratch.
Yeah.
It's not in the wheelhouse for me. For somebody who's very uncomfortable with words and not working with a copywriter, that might be the thing that helps them jump off the diving board, although I still think it isn't going to be as good as if they really generated how this was going to flow from their own minds.
Right. Or working with a copywriter and building a relationship with that person, right? A human-to-human connection.
Yeah.
And then that copywriter knowing who you are and your experiences and where you've come from, and then be able to write copy that may not even be related to all those experiences, but knows you well in order to be able to write that copy.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. AI just can't do that. It doesn't do that. And And that's what happens with AI. It kind of sounds very okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make you stand out.
And very often, you know it's AI, right? And the more AI that is out there, the more humans are starting to be able to detect AI written content. And so when they do, people often just turn off because it's not authentic.
A really good collaboration with a copywriter is going to bring you out in a way that no computer program ever could. It's just, you can't replace the human thing with something that isn't human. It just will not work.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's face it, it's a tough field. There's a lot of architects out there. There's a lot of good architects. To rely on something that isn't uniquely you isn't going to get you closer to your goal.
Yeah, I agree. All right, final question. What's one thing a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Well, okay, so coming from where I'm coming from, I would say to communicate. A lot of architects, they're busy, and communication through social media channels and other channels is something they know they want to get to, but they don't. It falls by the wayside. At the end of a long day, they've got to get home. There's the kids, there's the spouse, there's the grocery shopping and all of that stuff. And I would say you actually don't have time not to use writing and communicating in your business, because not only will it grow your business, but what I hear from a lot of architects is it nudges things in the direction of getting to choose which clients you have. Like, too much business is always a good thing, but if you can communicate with the world in ways that make you really good, look the way you're supposed to look, maybe you get to turn down the jobs you don't want and take on more interesting jobs with people that you want to work with. So that to me would be really key.
All right. His name is Larry Lindner. It's LarryLindner.com. It's LINDNER. LarryLindner.com is his website. You can learn all about him there. You can see some of his writing. Go check it out. LarryLindner.com. He's also going to be an expert trainer at Entree Architect Network. Every month we do an expert training session. It's a webinar inside the Entree Architect Network membership. You get AIA credit for it and everything. But what we really do is we teach you all about business. And Larry's going to come and talk about copywriting in March of 2026. So if you are a pro member or a mastermind member, you'll have access to that. If you're not, you should join us. Go check it out at entrearchitect.com and join us in March for a webinar done by Larry. Larry, thank you very much for the work that you do for architects, helping us communicate our value to our clients and into the world. That's something that architects need to work really hard at, because one of the complaints that architects often have is that the world doesn't value us. They don't understand what we do. And my argument to that is it's because we're not communicating what we do to the world. And so I appreciate you for being an ally, for helping us do that, and for coming by here today at Entree Architect Network.
Thanks so much, Mark. I agree with you. Too many people do not understand what an architect brings to the table. And I am happy and proud to partner with architects to help people understand it better.
Well, thank you. Thanks for doing that.
Thanks.
If you liked this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a link to this episode with a friend. Either just click the share button or highlight the URL and send the link to this episode with a friend, because that's how Entree Architect has grown to serve thousands more architects just like you. Throughout the 10 plus years of Entree Architect, that's how we've grown, architect to architect. So I would love for you to share this episode and all the episodes with one friend every week. We'd love that. And thank you to our sponsors for this episode. We don't have an episode if there's no sponsors. So thank you to our sponsors. Links to those sponsors, which you should go visit and click, and all the resources that we discussed today for this specific episode, they are all available at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Every episode that we've recorded is there, entrearchitect.com/podcast. Go click the links to the sponsors and say hello. Entree Architect is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. You should go visit that at gablemedia.com. That is the next evolution of interactive media and resources for the AEC community. You can now earn continuing education credits for listening to select episodes of this podcast, Entree Architect Podcast. Yes, AIA CEUs for listening to a podcast. It's there, and many other podcasts are there as well. and you can listen to all of them and get credit. Learn more about our program, Gable Members Program, at the gablemedia.com/members website. That's gablemedia.com/members. And if you are a small firm architect, join us today at Entree Architect Network. That is the worldwide organization for small firm entrepreneur architects. If you own your own architecture firm, you are an entrepreneur architect. You are an Entree Architect. With weekly live group business coaching, yep, we have business coaching there, monthly live business training with AIA CEUs, 2 a month, so 24 AIA credits per year, including 12 of those are HSWs. We have them in the membership. Business resources, all the resources you need to run your business, special session webinars, mastermind groups, and a thriving community of small firm architects just like you. Hundreds of architects are there waiting for you to join. So we provide the support and encouragement you need to succeed as a small firm architect. I know that you haven't been trained as a business person when you launched your firm. That's what we do. Come learn how to run a business at Entree Architect Network. And today you can go join right now for free for 30 days at this link, entrearchitect.com/30days. We'll give you free 30 days for membership. Go check it out at entrearchitect.com/30days, and I will see you there. Thank you for listening to this episode of Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I want you to remember 3 words: love, learn, share. Have a great day. Are you NCARB certified yet? Join the network of over 45,000 architects who have the NCARB certificate to expand your professional reach. By becoming NCARB certified, you are demonstrating that you've met the national standards for licensure, a qualification that can be an important factor for firms when hiring and promoting. Certificate holders have a streamlined path to apply for a reciprocal license in all 55 U.S. jurisdictions, as well as access to an extensive library of free continuing education courses. Learn more today at ncarb.org.